Welcome back to the Happy Saver podcast. I'm Ruth, a personal finance blogger right here in Aotearoa. And in this podcast, I chat with a diverse bunch of people. I learn their story and then I just condense it down into an essay so that you can hear helpful, relatable stories from Kiwis who are sharing their experiences, their tips, and their point of view on personal finance in New Zealand. Today, I have an update on Nick from episode number 78, which I released in March of 2023. Now, that episode was titled In the Process of Making a Financial U-Turn, and if you've not yet listened to it, pause this and go back and check it out. A lot can happen in a year, which is what I wanted to share with you today. But to briefly recap the last episode, back in 2022, Nick began to email me, and her first ever email to me said that she had recently become obsessed with managing her money and saving for her future. She knew she didn't want to work forever. Retiring at the age of 56 was actually her aim, but she didn't understand how to go about achieving that goal. Financially speaking, the way she was going, she thought she would have potentially gotten to financial independence based purely on luck. But then again, she said, what if the luck ran out? Nick described herself as a 42-year-old professional who worked in a tough, demanding management role in a field that she loved that also happened to pay quite well. She's a mum to two tamariki and a partner to the world's most laid-back, carefree, non-money-driven man. This had its pros and its cons. She told me that her money journey started slowly and was full of poor decisions, good luck, and some great times. And when we spoke, she found herself in the very fortunate position of earning an above average income, which before 2023, she spent more or less in its entirety. But more recently, she has realised she is in a position to do things differently with her money, and that will have a lasting impact on her whānau and others. And fresh information on how to handle money better has made her cringe at past decisions. Nick had come a long way, but her journey was far from over. And when we finished our korero, she had a rough plan for her future, something she'd never had before. She was learning to direct the discipline and focus that she has in other parts of her life towards her money. But before I get into the meat and potatoes of this update episode, I need to tell you a little bit about today's sponsor. Pocketsmith has many uses, and this one is close to my heart. As a blogger and podcaster, I manage my small business using it. You might manage a trust, rental income, or selling products. Pocketsmith can easily do it all. Throughout the month, I categorize each financial move my business makes, and at the end of the tax year, Pocketsmith consolidates all my financial transactions and assets into an organized, exportable format that I can share with my accountant. The more efficiently I can provide my financials to them, the faster they can complete my return, saving time and money and reducing errors. And let's not forget the biggest reason I'm a fan of this software, it lets me know exactly how my business is performing. If you want to supercharge your finances with Pocketsmith, have we got a deal for you. Happy Saver listeners get a whopping 50% off your first 2 months of Pocketsmith's foundation plan. To get your deal, go to pocketsmith.com/thehappysaver. That's pocketsmith.com/thehappysaver. When Nick and I spoke in early 2023, Nick was still very new to the whole concept of personal finance, and long after we had finished the episode, I wondered how she was getting on. I would be lying if I didn't say I worried that she might slip into her old patterns of spending all she earned and not being overly concerned about being in debt. But a year after we spoke, an update email arrived in my inbox, something she had promised herself that she would do, and when Nick sets herself a job to do, she does it. She said it's been an interesting 12 months and they are slowly but surely getting ahead. She knows this purely because she created her own wealth tracker to monitor her progress. It seems like a case of one step forward and then half a step back, as on occasions in the last year or so, it seems her luck had deserted her. But even with some upheaval thrown into her life, plus some pretty ill-controlled budgets, she said they are still managing to pay down debt, lower their mortgage, and increase her KiwiSaver balance. I wanted to share her update because many of you listening will relate to her progress. New Zealand has been through a tricky few years, and some things we thought were certain, such as job stability, were suddenly less so. Mortgage interest rates have had a sharp increase, and the cost of living has risen. We have each felt the impact of this uncertainty in different ways. After the first podcast was released, Nick said she went on merrily living her life and following her financial plans of paying off her house by the age of 46, which is just a few short years away now, while also contributing to her KiwiSaver. She also intended to get her partner Frank more on board with the family finances and was keen to get this reluctant bloke to play an active role in the pūtea that flows in and out of their lives. But in mid-May 2023, the income that her financial plans relied on was under threat. Her company, which she had worked for a long time and loved working for, they unexpectedly announced a restructure, which meant disestablishing her role. Her position was being made redundant. Given that her financial plans relied entirely upon that income, she suddenly entered a very uncertain world. In the past, if she had ever thought about what a redundancy package might look like, she would have always felt pretty comfortable with whatever was offered. The redundancy payout on the table was somewhere in the vicinity of $90,000, which is a very large amount. Nick had always thought that a redundancy payout would be a lovely golden handshake goodbye, but when she actually started to calculate her own numbers, she could see that if she lost her job, there was a squeeze coming, and she just couldn't afford to support the lifestyle that she was very accustomed to. And given that she really enjoyed working for this company, having your role restructured out of existence is a tough pill to swallow. And now her reality was that with a mortgage still to pay in a rising interest rate environment and the reality that her cost of living was relatively high, plus the fact she had no job to go to, well, there was not much comfort to be found in any financial offer her employer might make her. Now, you might be listening to this thinking, but it's 90 grand. Surely that is plenty. But when you still have a couple of $100,000 in debt still left to pay, very little saved for rainy days, and little saved for retirement, a $90,000 payout will hold the wolf from the door for a long time, but only if you slow down your financial goals. Now, Nick didn't want her newfound plans to be slowed down, and I was actually quite happy to hear this. She was given a lifeline when she found out that there were positions within the business that she could apply and interview for, but getting a job offer was not a certainty by any means. So Nick put a lot of thought into her options. After 20 years with this employer, should she take the redundancy, leave the company she loved, and start again somewhere afresh, or should she fight to stay? And at the end of the day, Nick knew she wanted to find a role and stay with the company. Even after being made redundant, she wanted to remain working to build a strong future for them. Which sounds very magnanimous of her, don't you think? But the reality of her situation was that she also knew that employment opportunities in a similar role with similar pay in her part of the Motu would be hard to find, if not impossible to come by. She looked around and saw that her pay would drop down to $150,000 at a push. And with kids still in school and a partner working his own job in the area, which was going really well for him, there was zero chance of them upping their lives to move to another area to chase high-paid work. So the long and the short of it was that Nick was successful in gaining a new role with her existing company with a bigger pay packet of $275,000 and a bonus scheme. Now, in regards to the bonus, it is not a given at all, and it could range anywhere from nothing to $80,000 a year. It's entirely dependent on her own performance in her role and the overall performance of the entire business. It has been zero in the past, so she doesn't factor this bonus into her budget at all due to the unreliability of it. And while she was successful in finding a new place with the company, many of her colleagues did not, and they lost a lot of great people in the process. What it also means is that the entire organization has adopted a whole new way of operating, so she's had to heavily adapt and learn new systems and processes, which has been a challenge for sure. The geographical region she covers has greatly increased, plus she is now responsible for 200 plus staff who work across a really diverse range of roles within that much larger region. So she now has a much greater workload with a higher degree of stressful interactions, and she feels like she earns every single cent of her income for sure. Any spare time she used to have is also now gone. So this whole process, it took about 3 stressful months, and that entire period was full of change and uncertainty. She said that it was a really challenging time because it was not just her going through this, it was a company-wide restructuring that impacted her colleagues as well. And she said there were a lot of emotions going on for everyone. But in the midst of all of this, normal family life went on. So alongside this considerable upheaval, her family decided that their youngest child would benefit from attending a private boarding school in 2024, which has a healthy price tag of about $16,000 a year, adding another cost to the family budget. And this meant that Nick was running several career and budgeting scenarios in her head. One of them included finding a new job on lower pay, and the other included staying at the same one. And in regards to her child's schooling, she researched and discovered that there was about $4,000 of government funding available. Her child is attending a Catholic school, which is more than 50 kilometres away from their home. And if you want your child to continue with their religious education, there is funding to help pay for it. And she applied for it, and thankfully she got it. Plus, she spent 2023 slowly saving towards this known future schooling expense. She now has a strategy and a budget to pay for each school expense as it comes up throughout the year. Now, of course, there were more house renovations. They never seem to stop, but just minor updates this time, totaling about $3,000, which is actually pretty good in the grand scheme of things. And when we spoke last time, she had given a $5,000 loan to a member of her whānau. This has since been paid back in full, and she added it to the $5,000 that they had in their small emergency fund, which is just as well because last year it got a thrashing when 2 very healthy vet bills wiped out $5,000 of it. So the $10,000 emergency fund didn't last long. Its balance dropped back down to just $5,000. And if life wasn't unpredictable enough, right in the middle of everything, the fridge blew up. Of course it did. At the time, she said she raged against it. But once she calmed down, she simply went and paid cash for a new fridge. For a moment, I was worried that she might have put it on finance or on her credit card. But no, although she hated to spend the money, they used their emergency fund. Her credit card balance remains at zero. Nick shared with me that from when she started tracking her spending just a few short years ago to today, she has really noticed the impact of increases in the cost of living. Remember that this family had a giant grocery and dining out spend? Well, they've reined that in. But even with that new discipline, she said that they still seem to spend ridiculous amounts on groceries each month. And most of us, I think, can relate to this. She's refreshed her budget, but found that tracking her spending had become a bit slack due to the stress and just the lack of time due to her increased work commitments. But more recently, she has found her feet at work and has found time to dedicate to the family finances again. Now, this is so good to hear, and it's entirely normal, I think, that you come and go from it a bit. Because she had already begun to manage their money better, it would have been far easier to step back into it and pick up where they left off. It was not like she had to learn everything from scratch like she did just a few short years ago. So with such a focus on securing work and paying off the mortgage, holidays have taken a back seat, and she said that, to be honest, she's not sure that they could justify the expense at the start of the year. But she is planning and saving for one at the end of 2024. With 2 teenagers in the house, a picnic in the park or reading books at the library, well, it really doesn't cut it anymore. But they do have their boat, and they spend a lot of time out fishing and hanging out on the water with their dad, something that the entire whānau really enjoys. They had a quick break away to the city, but Nick found that it might have been a break for her partner and the kids, but for her, it was all work. She organised the whole thing, she cooked, she sorted the activities, and paid for everything. As enjoyable as it was, relaxing, it was not. So she has new plans, a family cruise, paid for in cash, at the end of the year, where once you are on board, you are fully on holiday. This lack of travel over the last couple of years is really unusual for them, given how much travel they did in the past when she said they literally earned half the money. But the difference for them is her additional payments to pay off the house. So the money is not being spent and used up, but instead put to good use for the long-term well-being of the whānau. And when they are finally completely debt-free, the holiday plans will step up a notch too. Nick said she can taste freedom ahead, but for now, it's about getting the job at hand done first, and then she can exhale. She sent me a copy of her wealth tracker, a spreadsheet she created for herself that listed assets and their values at the beginning and end of a 12-month period, and once again she was happy to share her numbers. Her KiwiSaver, which is in a high-growth Fisher fund, has increased by $24,000 up to a balance of about $95,000. Her Sharesies investments have stayed static at almost $3,000, while her priorities have moved to paying down debt instead. However, she is investing for her two tamariki, and each of their KiwiSaver balances has risen $1,700 to almost $2,500 each. Their Sharesies investments have risen a little too, with balances hovering around the $1,000 mark. I was hoping to see big changes in the balances of her debts, her two mortgages, and indeed I did. Despite the huge uncertainty around her paycheck, she kept the pressure on herself to pay down her debts as fast as she could. She has paid $17,000 off one of her two mortgages, dropping the outstanding balance to just $33,000. In early 2024, it was time to renew it again, and since we first got to talking, her interest rate moved from 4.89% up to 6.48%, and it is now at 7.05%. She is paying $2,000 a month towards this mortgage, and at an interest rate of 7.05%, it's far more tolerable when the outstanding balance is small and ever decreasing. She wants to get this mortgage paid off in full this year, but she'll need to increase her monthly payments to make this happen, as with that current monthly payment, she is not on track to reach that goal. And as we spoke, I could hear her mind ticking over as to where she could free up some cash to wipe this debt before the one-year term ends, and I really, really hope she makes it. Getting the full $33,000 paid off in full this year will be a big achievement. Her second mortgage has dropped from $214,000 to $167,000 since our last chat, so a $47,000 drop in this particular debt. The interest rate has also changed since we spoke, jumping from about 4% to 6.9%, and she is making $4,500 payments each month towards this debt. So in total, she has paid off $64,000 in mortgage debt, leaving just $200,000 left to pay. Having recently found some time in her busy schedule to rework her budgets, she is feeling confident that she has found another $500 a month that she can put towards these debts. And I think that clearing that smallest mortgage in full will be a huge emotional win. Plus, it will free up that $2,000 to $2,500 monthly payment, which she can then put towards the bigger mortgage. Making a $7,000 monthly payment will see that bigger loan cleared in no time. And given her large income, this is the time to aggressively get out of debt, in my opinion. Why? Because she has seen what dropping her income down to $150,000 a year would do to her debt freedom plans. It would add years to it. So making hay while the sun shines makes a lot of sense. And on this current path, she is less than 3 years away from doing this, tantalizingly close. Nick is also keeping track of the price of the house itself. She estimates that its value has dropped by almost $100,000 in the last year to $750,000. She will have got this figure from one of the many house valuation websites that you can use. Now, of course, none of us know the value of our home until we actually sell it. And if you recall from the last episode, she had no plans of selling her property anytime soon, but it is handy to keep track of nonetheless. So, all in all, Nick thought that the overall financial summary over the last year wasn't looking too bad. $60,000 paid off the mortgage in a year, a good KiwiSaver contribution and increase in balance, some KiwiSaver and share purchases for the kids, money set aside for boarding school in 2024, and bigger ticket items such as servicing the boat they love, keeping their vehicles on the road, and looking after their pets and adding to holiday savings. She is cash flowing all of these things throughout the year. Her big plans for 2024, which we are already one quarter of the way through, are to have another serious year of paying down the mortgage. Nick really felt the impact of risk this year. When you owe other people money, you invite risk into your life. Nick said that the shock of not potentially having a job, it really did a number on her. When you risk losing your primary income, you shine a torch on your financial plans and you see how robust they really are. Nick really got the chance to feel the heat, the pressure and the financial risk of being unable to pay her mortgage, and she didn't like that feeling. And yes, if push came to shove and she could only secure a lower paid gig, she could renegotiate with the bank and pay lower monthly payments. But the point I want to make about becoming financially independent is that when disaster strikes, when you are completely debt-free, you are in a position where you don't have to consider what the bank thinks about your situation. And this fright made her realize that she was in, and thankfully remains in, a truly blessed position with a high income to make sure if this does happen again, she never wants to feel this vulnerable again. So this year and the following 2 years, she will continue to work much harder on having financial freedom with no debt. And that way, she won't be forced to take on extra responsibility to remain in a job, but can instead make a career move doing what she wants to do for the number of hours she wants to do it for and for whatever pay packet that comes with it. Now, for those with a good memory, there was a part of her previous episode where we talked about the large degree of separation between her and her partner's views of money in their relationship. Essentially, he made his money and spent it how he wished, or she made her money and spent it on the entire family. What was his, and what was hers was theirs. I thought this needed to change, and she did too, because it's hard to reach a common goal if you manage money so differently. And I'm not going to lie to you, it just sounded really unfair and a little selfish. She said that consolidating their Pūtea didn't eventuate between her and her partner Frank, and they did really try to talk about it. He is still not the best with managing his money and not on board with getting on board with the family finances. It's a missed opportunity that they are still not working together with their money, as I think it does put the heavy lifting on her shoulders. The uncertainty with her job really put the pressure on Nick as she juggled the mental load of working out if they were all going to be okay. It was really stressful. She really wanted his input into their situation and asked him to step up and help her navigate a way through. Really, this conversation goes way beyond the actual money and points instead to the relationship you're in. It's about one person saying to the other, "Please help me, I need your input," to know that I and we are helping our family of four head in the right direction. Because in my view, the other person might see or know something that the other doesn't, and having shared wisdom is just so beneficial. And if a couple comes together and it all goes well, it makes the team so much stronger. But if something goes wrong, there's no blame being placed, but instead a shared understanding of what didn't work and what they might do differently next time. In my view, if your spouse is saying, "Work with me, please," and is asking for your help, you must help. It's just part of being a loving spouse. She thought they had talked about their money and he was saying all the right things, perhaps just to appease her, but ultimately there was no follow through. So for now, Nick appears to be steering the waka on her own, but she's not giving up just yet and will continue to work on their financial lives as a couple in 2024. Frank is now earning almost $40 an hour and working between 20 to 30 hours a week, and Nick is helping him with his bookkeeping. But she has also forced him to step up and take over the payment of some bills, particularly the ones in relation to his hobbies, and this frees up her money to put against their mortgage. I know they're probably both busy, but finding time just once a week to check in for 10 minutes will keep the conversation around money alive, and she said that they have been able to chat, and she has learned a little more about how he grew up and how his own family handled money, and she's gained some insight into why he thinks about his money being his money alone. So that is something to keep on talking through, in my opinion, and despite not finding common ground yet, they are talking, and I hope that they never stop trying to work as a financial team. Nick's goal remains to make work optional by the time she is 56. And her plans to achieve this are still in the creation phase. But phase one is definitely becoming mortgage-free while also paying into her KiwiSaver. As soon as she makes her last mortgage payment, she will be able to turn her salary away from paying off debt towards investing in assets outside of her KiwiSaver that can pay her an income in early retirement. Now, make no mistake, this second goal is a huge one. To use some very rough math, if she were to pursue financial independence using a large broad-based ETF or index fund investment such as the US 500 or a total world type fund, she would aim to invest 25 times her annual expenses. For example, if you spend $40,000 a year, you need to have $1 million invested. Then, when retirement arrives and 56 years old is her aim, she can sell off 4% each year or $40,000, giving her enough to cover her annual expenses and leaving the investment to continue to grow and compound. It works, and I know a lot of people using this strategy in their retirement, but it will take a lot of money, commitment to the process of investing, and time. The more you spend each year, the higher the total investment balance needs to be in order to generate that income, and it already seems likely that she will need a lot more than $40,000 a year to live. So I hope she is up for the challenge. I suspect she might be. Still, even if life throws in a few curveballs along the way, just embarking on this plan of hers is going to get her in a much better financial position than if she had never tried. I think of it this way. For every $100,000 I have invested, that can generate $4,000 of Putia that I can use in my life. So the more multiples of $100,000 I have, the less reliant I am on an income. So I look forward to staying in touch as she transitions into the next phase in a couple of years' time. So there you have it, a great update from Nick about a tough period of her life. But before I wrap up, I've got a final message from today's episode sponsor. If your finances are holding you back from living the life you want, try PocketSmith out. They've got the tools to help you make money management easier. And have we got a deal for you? Happy Saver listeners get a whopping 50% off your first 2 months of PocketSmith's foundation plan. To get your deal, go to pocketsmith.com/thehappysaver. That's pocketsmith.com/thehappysaver. Overall, Nick feels very optimistic about the year ahead, and I'm just delighted to hear that. When I listened to the episode that we created together, the recent events of 2023 were just another interesting bump in her road through life. Her optimistic attitude is wonderful, given the period of uncertainty that she has been through in 2023. She said that she feels the future is bright, and now she is working to make it shine even brighter for her and her whānau. Now, it might sound a bit rough, but I was both sorry and delighted that she'd had a job scare to knock her momentarily sideways. Nick likes to learn by doing, and this jolt gave her the wake-up call she probably didn't even know she needed. You can talk about risk, but until you feel its weight upon your shoulders, I don't think you can truly comprehend the heart-stopping angst of facing a financial crisis and not knowing how to solve it. So Nick has now felt it. From speaking to a wide variety of people, I know that a high income, while it lasts, can shelter you for a very long time. If you make a less than ideal money mistake 1 month, the chances are 100% that you can paper over the cracks when the next paycheck comes in. But when there is a genuine prospect that you could lose your job, it focuses your mind a little more tightly on your putia, don't you think? While Nick was handling an income problem, she was also dealing with all the normal and unexpected stuff that life throws at you. In her case, it was vet bills, the fridge losing its will to live, and private schooling. But I told her in an email that plenty more unexpected things would come her way, which, while not overly cheerful, was honest. So the key is to start planning for that to happen now, and then you will not be so surprised when it does. That lovely boat of theirs, it will need more maintenance. The pets will need more and more expensive care. And there will be all sorts of things that we never thought of in a million years. So while she focuses on her big goal of becoming mortgage free, stock that emergency fund too, is my advice. For those listening to this, you must have a plan B for these one-offs, these rainy day events, because they will always show up. The efforts you put into your finances today make all the difference in how you cope with the financial crisis tomorrow. With a large mortgage still outstanding, Nick really felt the pressure of that. But because she was already on the path to dealing with getting that debt gone, she was able to pull through. However, make no mistake, the prospect of losing her job was an anxiety-inducing time. So she kept her eyes on the horizon ahead, she kept up those payments to her mortgage and her KiwiSaver, and she just kept going. She didn't throw her entire financial plan out of the window and run away in panic. She just adjusted course and played through. And as the work situation settled down, she just kept rolling. So Nick, thanks again for this life update. I think it was a really genuine example of life happening. And just keep on keeping on, and I'm really looking forward to the next update. So that's all from me this week. If you want to get in touch, you know you can find me at thehappysaver.com. And something occurred to Johnny and I just yesterday when we had Isabel and Sam, who were in episode 89, sitting at our dining table just this week. They were passing through our region having a fabulous adventure, and they didn't actually realise that we run a blog. So many of you listening to this might be unaware as well. So I've been blogging for 8 years at thehappysaver.com. I update it every fortnight with a new blog post, and I've also got an email list that you can subscribe to. And then finally, all that's left to say is please do share this podcast with your friends. It is the best way that people can learn about the podcast. And I would love it if you would talk more about Pūtea with your own friends and whānau and help me continue to help others be better with money. So until next time, happy saving.